Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 436. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. How you doing, sir?
I am doing fine. I was in the middle of cooking dinner when the Stunt Granny signal was shot in the sky. So here I am saving the day.
Oh, man. Now you're just going to make me feel bad that I'm interrupting dinner to make you do this... unthankful deed of recording a show.
The heavy lifting is done. I'm just things are just simmering in the oven or simmering on the stove. So,
yeah, you know, that was the one thing that ran smooth for us tonight. We did a couple of Michael Simon's. They're supposed to be 5 minute meals. I'm just gonna say that they take a little bit longer than that. But they are fairly quick, and that was the one part of my night that turned out pretty well. So that's a good thing to turn out well.
Well, that's good.
So anyway, after finally doing that. NXT, it's something that when it's on the network, I don't always watch, but you put it on USA and I'm a sucker and ready to record right after it.
I mean, I figure that's a lot of people. There's probably a sizable amount of individuals who probably seen NXT for the first time just for the fact that it was on USA. So even though like it's been on the network isn't hard to watch and it doesn't cost that much, it's still probably a sizable population that doesn't have the network, regardless of the commercials.
Oh, right. Agreed. Yeah, because, I mean, I do think they still draw over the subscriber network, you know, because that's kind of funny. That's something that I haven't heard about in a long time, or ratings. I feel like we've had a good couple of solid months where I haven't had to talk about ratings at all.
Yeah, ratings are one thing I don't even care about anymore. It's kind of like I don't have stock. The number is what it is, and it only matters as far as like how much WWE can charge USA when it comes to negotiating. Beyond that, it's really irrelevant.
yeah. So, I guess I'm usually doing something else on a Wednesday than this, since the usual recording night got disrupted. This seemed like a good excuse to wait until Wednesday to record.
Yeah, Wednesdays only, I'm watching Riverdale and Mr. Robot, and it's funny, like NXT, I just watch, like, since it comes on the network, I rarely watch it when it comes on anymore. Like, I'll watch it, like, later on if I catch it. Like, I'm not in a rush to catch it when it comes on. But, like you said, it being on USA, I'm sitting my happy ass there, like, oh, I get to see these people, like, I already know and seen before. And it was funny where it wasn't like it was a typical NXT show. Like, it wasn't some jam-packed one.
Right.
You know, it had a bunch of squash matches, but it had an excellent main event. So, and if anyone hadn't watched NXT before, they basically got the gist of NXT. You had the champ win a quick match. You had a few squash matches. You had a tag team squash match. You had a little vignette about Ember Moon. You had previews for next week's show. And then you had a main event with Adam Cole and Aleister Black to fight for, like, you know, that fatal four-way match for the number one contendership for the world, for the NXT title. So it was like, they checked off all the boxes for the show in a very efficient way. Like, in an hour, they accomplished a lot.
Yeah, like you said, like I did find it as a... I thought it was interesting that the time frame had always been advertised as only being until 7:55. But honestly, when you're watching that on the network, it's usually like in the 50-minute range. So it kind of made sense. You throw in a couple of commercial breaks and, you know, you have the same length, show, really. Just a wider audience.
Yeah, like I could just imagine people like who've heard of NXT and what about the chance, like what they saw it. And it's kind of like weird, like if you watch NXT, you didn't really see anything out of the ordinary tonight. If you hadn't watched NXT, it's kind of like, I don't know, how would it come off to like someone who hasn't watched NXT and watched that show? Like it's a good show, but what's this whole, I wouldn't necessarily watch it and just get the whole thing. Why are they people chanting NXT when such and such comes to the main roster? Like it didn't scream out like this whole must see thing, but it was a solid show. And like, you know, the commentary was solid. Everything was like, it reminded me of like WCW Saturday Night for the most part. And I
Yeah.
wonder about like the crowd that's watching that. Like, I'm of the age where I remember watching that when I was like early teens, like maybe what, 11? Like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah.
So I definitely remember that. Remember watching Saturday Night. Every now and then they had like a real good match. Most of the time it was like squash matches and interviews and stuff, setting up the next thing. And, you know, studio audience, like nice, quaint vibe, like homely. And it's funny, like NXT feels like a sanitized version of ECW. Like it had the same vibe,
Oh.
nice studio. You know, they have their matches. Everything's professionally done. Everything feels like organic and stuff. And it just feels like home. It feels like home. And every now and then it has like the, you know, this fiery thing where it's like this great match or this great promo angle. But usually it's like, you know, you get from point A to point B. Yeah, and it's kind of like it's a show that it didn't hot shot. It didn't make some unexpected, you know, expectations that couldn't be matched week in and week out. And I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, is this a test run to see if USA would want to have NXT on USA instead of the network? And like Dave Meltzer said, like, you know, if they pay them the money, WWE would put them on in a heartbeat because it's better for them to have stuff on network TV because it's more money for them. And like for USA, it's kind of easy ratings. So it's kind of like, you know, I know there's like a lot of changes that's been going on, like between that and the announcement, the thing they have with Facebook with like this mixed match thing that they're going to be doing.
Oh, yeah, I haven't looked into what exactly they're doing with that. Is it mixed gender tag team matches?
I think they're just, I don't know, I think they're just going to have people from Raw and SmackDown and kind of like, they're gonna be voted on. I guess people will vote on, and like Facebook paid them to do it.
Oh.
So, and I know that's been like there's been a lot of talk about Facebook and Amazon and their ilk having more like live things. Like Verizon made this big deal where starting like in January they're going to be showing all the games. Like streaming,
Oh,
and it
right.
and they're talking about doing that like regular season too, like you know, regular season games, preseason games, playoff games through the Super Bowl. Like that's a depending on the details of that, that's a big ass deal because that's basically will knock DirecTV out the box. Like
Oh.
they spent a lot of money doing that. They didn't spend that money just to spend it. So I know some people that's kind of, I know it's people that's kind of like slaves to like seeing stuff on a TV compared to a tablet. Me personally, the primary reason I had DirecTV was to get NFL Sunday Ticket. If there was a way for me to watch football without that, I would ditch the, you know, I don't have anything against the rest of DirecTV. I can get something cheaper, and I would ditch them in a heartbeat. And spending $360 a year is for like basically for the point of I've used it for one Eagle game and I've watched a whole bunch of LA Raider, Jacksonville Jaguar games. So I could use
Well,
that money
aren't
for
you
something else.
lucky?
Like no offense to Blake Bortles, but I could use that money for something else because the primary reason was to watch out of, you know, out of market Eagles games, and nearly every Eagle game this year has been a national game here anyway. So yeah, so like back to WWE, like they've, I guess, dipping their toe in to alternate ways of showing their product, because I know like their contract's coming up soon, There's a lot of talk about negotiation. You always want to have more than one option. And streaming seems to be the future. I think the main thing kind of holds people back is like their internet connection. But it's like, you know, Amazon was doing it throughout the year with the NFL games, Thursday Night Football. And I remember it was when Twitter first did it, and the stream was fine. I remember everybody was wondering, like, who's going to watch a game on Twitter? And I watched it, and it was, the stream was smooth. It was no issues whatsoever. And then you got used to, like, Verizon, watch Thursday Night Football, and, you know, Sunday Night Football. There's no problem. I don't think people are necessarily, like, tied to having to watch things on their TV anymore. Even if, you know, without music, you can use Chromecast or Apple TV or whatever. People just want to watch it, and they don't really care how they watch it. So WWE's kind of like being proactive with this. And,
yeah.
And I think it's kind of like, that's a good move, because basically once Raw and SmackDown got on the same network, it just makes sense to have everything in one place if you're going to do that.
Oh.
And if USA is going to pay them the money to do that, then have Raw, SmackDown, NXT, boom, you got that. If Facebook wants to give them $300 million to put Raw on Facebook, people will watch Raw on Facebook. You know, it may be some old, people like, I don't know, bro, watch, I'm going to watch, you know, on the what? On the book? Yeah, it's going to be that old crowd that might have an issue with that. But that's why they have grandchildren to kind of show them how to do it.
It's worth having your hand in every cookie jar, which the WWE is doing a good job of doing, honestly. I'm not sure if I'm going to watch the mixed match thing, but it is something interesting to throw out there. I mean, it's... the amount of content anywhere is incredible these days. That's just what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's funny where I remember Cyber Sunday was a thing, and when that first came out, they were just too soon. Like, I don't think people were ready for what they were trying to do with that, and it seemed like kind of like this gimmick that was kind of like, you know, you can only do so much. And now, this day and age, you could do a pay-per-view like that. I mean, considering the fact that you don't have to worry about charging $39.99 to $59.99 with the network, is, you know, people spend $10, you could do a gimmick like that. People are online on Twitter anyway, so it's not like this whole call in a number or email them to, like, pick this match. You could basically put a Twitter poll on, say, who do you want to see wrestle Roman Reigns? And give four names, and you can find an answer within 10 minutes.
And I might actually believe the results now.
Yeah, so that's definitely something. It's funny where that's definitely something that would be a lot easier to implement now if they wanted to do that. And I know old heads are kind of like, that's not the rest I grew up on. It's like, things change. You either change with or you get left behind. And I like the fact that we've seen they're willing to do things they normally wouldn't do as far as, like, shows, who they book, which kind of leads to, like, you know, I hadn't watched Raw last week, so I missed the Matt Hardy stuff with Bray Wyatt. Anthem kind of like, you know, hey, you want to do your gimmick, go ahead, do your gimmick, whatever. So I heard that, and I knew he would, like, be able to use this stuff again. It had been a while since I've seen that gimmick, so you can imagine my face when I turned on Monday Night Raw and I saw that segment with Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. I was laughing my ass off for like 5 minutes. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've seen in a long time. And I didn't feel bad about watching. I'm like, this is just absurd.
Because Matt's tweaked the character, I think, a little bit. But it's kind of funny to have the juxtaposition of Bray Wyatt there trying to be serious, and then Matt Hardy just coming off the way Matt Hardy does now.
Yeah. And like, it got to the point where Bray Wyatt basically gave up. Like, this is goofy as hell. Everybody knows it's goofy as hell, and let's just go for it. Because Bray tried to do his serious thing, and then you segue to Matt, and it's like, what the? Like, if you hadn't seen that, you're like, what the hell is going on? And I kind of knew it was coming, but that laugh and that accent and the crowd's just eating it up. And then it jumps to Bray Wyatt. He's trying to be serious. It jumps back to Matt. He just laughs. And it's like, it got to the point where they're just laughing at each other. And it's like, this is like superhero versus supervillain nonsense on Monday Night Raw. But that fits Bray Wyatt. His character is ridiculous anyway. His old swamp preacher with the mystical power stuff. Let him do his goofy stuff with Matt Hardy and keep him away from Finn Balor. So I was just watching. I was kind of like,
Matt Hardy could be Bray Wyatt's first like actual suitable partner in a feud.
Which says a lot in this day. And I was just thinking about that, where it's 2017, and you think about the people that were like wrestling like Attitude Era before that, and we saw a couple of them on TV because Kane was in the main event, and you got Matt Hardy. Like, I remember the Hardy Boys in the 90s. That was 20 years ago, and Matt Hardy's still around, like, making money. People spend money to watch him. Like, most of his contemporaries are, like, retired or dead, or part-timers.
Yeah, that was the one thing I hadn't thought about it that much, but, they spent a decent chunk of time out of the WWE and in TNA or nowhere sometimes. But I kind of, like, that. I think, they mentioned their age, like, being in their 40s. And I'm just like, what? Like,
yeah.
Huh? Like, I was like, holy shit, yeah, I was watching them a long time ago.
We all have, but just think about, like, we acknowledge the fact that Triple H is old. It's like, the Hardys are just as old as Triple H. Like, you think about, like, Mark Henry is basically semi-retired. Big Show is semi-retired. Edge and Christian's on a podcast. They're parents. Like, you know, Devon's an agent. Most of their contemporaries are, like, retired.
Well, and even Kane, really, like, how long was he off? Was he off for a year or something?
It had been a while. Like, it's basically seemed like they've been rotating between Kane and the Big Show to find stuff for Braun Strowman to do.
Yeah.
So like Mark Henry had one match, and then Big Show had his feud after he got in shape, and now it's Kane's turn while Big Show had his surgery. And it's kind of like, it's just funny thinking about the people. It's funny thinking about, like, you watch Raw and you have, like, these old heads doing their thing. And then even, like, the guys that, quote-unquote, the new breed, like, Samoa Joe's not young. And Finn Balor isn't, like, young, you know.
Not in the least.
You know, it's just, like, I'm watching the show, and, like, it was nothing wrong. It was a competent show. It's just a weird show where it's, like, you got this mismatch of, like, these, quote-unquote, new people that's been there for 5 years. And these old people that's been here for 20 years, and yeah, Braun Strowman is basically Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, how the biggest baby face is a monster bully. Like, that just, and it just happened organically. Like, it's one of those things where Vince McMahon plan worked. Because, you know, Braun Strowman is basically a Vince McMahon type of guy. And he's somebody that the crowd has embraced, and it has booked him perfectly. And, like, he's basically, like, you know, they're here. And it's weird where it's a show where he's the hero and Roman Reigns is on the same show. And Roman Reigns is basically playing, I'm going to be John Cena. Like,
well,
mid-card. Like, I'm going to be late-day John Cena on the mid-card. Like, I'm going to have a good 25-minute match to prove people I can wrestle.
Except I'm way earlier in my career than John Cena was doing this.
Yeah, I'm like, Roman Reigns in his prime. Like, normally, you don't go from the top and then go back to the middle when you're young. Like, that normally doesn't happen that much. You get to the top and stay the top unless you get punished. Where he's, I mean, it's working because it's rehabilitating Roman Reigns, and he's having good matches. Like, that match with Cesaro was an excellent-ass match. Like, it just proved tend to forget. Like, people, you know, just in case you might forget, Cesaro can wrestle his ass off. And Roman Reigns is a very good... He's a lot better wrestler than he needs to be for the position he is, and people give him enough credit for having good matches. Like, he can have good matches with almost anybody, more or less. And they had a real good match, and they're using like those three with the Shield and Cesaro and Sheamus and Samoa Joe. Like, it's killing a lot of time in an effective way. And I do have to laugh how they just booked Samoa Joe like the world's most successful bully. Like, he's coming out chumping people. He had his match and he wrestled Ambrose. Basically bullied Jason Jordan and beat Dean Ambrose clean. Within the third, they booked him like he was a babyface. He was normal. He did like what Triple H used to do, and people used to complain about Triple H about. But Samoa Joe was so cool, no one had an issue with it. And it helps that everyone hates Jason Jordan.
I was amused in talking to one Jeremy Mays this week about how irritated he was with Jason Jordan. I'm like, dude, the guy finally has a character. Like, I finally like what's happening with Jason Jordan. Like, that whole angle has been a bomb until, like, they're finally, I think, finding their footing with what they want to do with him. And it's starting to work, I think.
Yes. I mean, it's easy to boo him. It's like, he's a prissy dickhead. Basically, and he's playing it up like, Daddy, give me a chance. Daddy, I can prove myself. He's jumping in people's faces like, you know, you're not going to ignore me. Like, I remember Roman Reigns tried to brush him off, and he suplexed him and then got a match out of it. And then Samoa Joe looking like, wait, you just going to steal a match because you jumped Roman Reigns? Like, it's just working where he's this angry that's getting chances he shouldn't get. He's annoying and aggravating, but he can wrestle. That's the just position of it. Like, he can wrestle a good match, and he can hang with anybody in the ring with. He's just so damn obnoxious where he's inherently unlikable, and it fits. And I'm glad they're playing, like, you know what? People are booing him. Let's just go with it. You know, and they're going with, like, they're putting in ways that make him look as obnoxious as possible.
They were not trying to go with it there for a while, but they have certainly just caved, and it's doing wonders for his character, and it's even kind of making, I kind of like angry Kurt Angle, who's getting driven nuts by his son now.
Yeah, like, I give him credit for making the best out of the bad situation, even though initially they made the situation bad. But, you know, a lot of times they don't necessarily learn from that. So the fact that they did, I give them credit for that. And they're doing the best they can. It's just weird seeing, like, can't cut that promo talking about, I'm going to beat Braun Strowman and wrestle Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. And I'm like, what? That's the first thing that came out. Like, I must have really not have been paying attention watching Raw the past few weeks. They're going to wrestle for the number one contender. Like, nobody wants to see Kane versus Brock Lesnar at the Rumble for the title. What year is this? Like,
that was one. And I think he said during the promo that he'd never faced Brock Lesnar. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh my god, like, how did this not happen at some point? Just because, you know, Kane fights everyone who's a big guy. Like, how did Brock Lesnar slide by him?
I think what happened was, when Brock Lesnar first got there, he never interacted with Kane, and then he went to SmackDown, and Kane was on Raw.
Oh.
And then Brock left, and then when he came back, Brock has been wrestling like main eventers, like Kane's been in and out. And this, you kind of think about it, it's like, yeah, he wrestled every other big man except Kane. Like, he wrestled Mark Henry when he first got there. Yeah. He wrestled The Big Show. He wrestled The Undertaker. And, like, since he's been back, he's wrestled all of them again, more or less. But it's not like people. It's not like people clamoring, like, "Yeah, I want to see the dream match of Kane versus Brock Lesnar." It's like no one's ever sat there in their life before. So to hear him say that, I had to stop. I'm like, "Wow, wrestling is weird." But I'm wondering, like,
yeah, I can't believe he's been around that long, and somehow, it just didn't happen.
And you figure it's gonna be like a three-way, that's gonna be an ugly match. Like you think about, like, you know, they're gonna have a three-way at the Royal Rumble: Braun Strowman, Kane, and Brock Lesnar. It's like, who's gonna be the quarterback of that match? Like, is Braun Strowman gonna be calling the moves? Like, how's that working? So, I mean, it doesn't matter too much because it's the Royal Rumble, and if you're gonna have a quote-unquote bad match or title match, Royal Rumble is one of the places to have it. It's just weird just seeing that Kane's basically going to be in that match so Braun Strowman doesn't have to lose. And then it's just missing this whole where they were going to do Finn Balor for whatever reason. He wasn't over enough and all that crap. I guess it's like you just have to come out pretending he's the Fonz and waste his time with Bray Wyatt. You get what you deserve.
They're
booking Samoa Joe to be like this monster, but he's basically feuding with Roman Reigns. He's not going to beat Reigns for the U.S. Like, at first I'm like, he's not going to beat Reigns for the U.S. title, but then it's kind of like, if they're going to have Roman Reigns wrestle Brock, I could easily see him losing like that title to Joe and then just move on, win the Rumble and wrestle Brock. So it's kind of like you got all these people, and you're wondering where they're going. Like, they're pushing a lot of people strong, and only one person can wrestle Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. WrestleMania will be here, like, January will be here before you know it. And, like, once the Royal Rumble season comes, it's kind of like you start deciding, like, who's going to wrestle who at WrestleMania.
That's why I was pretty strange, like the winter, and I think we've talked about it on the show here, the winter doldrum season of the WWE, I feel like, is gotten shorter these days because of all the content they need to put out.
Yeah,
and they're kind of in it right now still, but I can't really blame them. There are probably a lot of people running around for the holidays that maybe aren't paying attention as much these few weeks.
I mean, it's always been like that. Like, from Survivor Series to Royal Rumble, it's always been kind of a dead time for the most part. I mean, it's like that in real life. People take vacation time. They kind of, like, slack off at work. So I don't really blame WWE for doing that. People say, oh, it's dull. I'm like, that's what happens when you have shows every week for a whole year. Like, people get tired. You really want to see this groundbreaking angle the second week of December when half the people on vacation. Like, it's like stuff is kind of like not going to really have that much weight until the Royal Rumble comes. And then once the Rumble comes, then it's kind of like you push the high gear. Although SmackDown is kind of like you got that stuff going on with, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn doing their thing. And it's like, you know, Shane and Daniel, like, they're dropping enough clues where you feel like somebody's going to, like, Daniel Bryan is going to do something. And they're dropping enough clues to kind of, like, lead you toward that. And then you're wondering, what's it build into? Like if Daniel Bryan kind of, like, screws Randy Orton, Nakamura, and Shane for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, are they going to really let him wrestle? Like, if you're going to have him involved in that, people are going to have questions. Although, Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon and WrestleMania, can you imagine? You thought people were angry when AJ Styles wrestled Shane. Could you imagine that Daniel Bryan's first match back?
It's against Shane.
He may never wrestle WWE again. He finally comes back wrestle. He wrestled Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. Can you imagine how pissed off people would be?
Maybe if AJ versus Shane taught them anything, it's that Shane can have a good WrestleMania match with a great worker.
Yes, personally, I would have no issue with it because I'm like, Shane's always been entertaining to me, and WrestleMania is about entertaining matches. And that was, truth be told, that was the best match of Mania last year, was their match, at least the most entertaining match. Like, that was a fun-ass match, and they worked their ass off, so I can include that. And I'm sure they could have Daniel Bryan, I can't believe I'm saying this, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon could have a good WrestleMania match. But the fact where people think, oh, Daniel Bryan could come back, he could wrestle Finn Balor or Nakamura or AJ Styles, they're all his names. Who's he wrestling? Shane McMahon. It'd be like, what? Like, I remember people got mad at how Survivor Series went down. I'm like, you really getting mad because Triple H went over on, like, Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon? Like, is all of them old? What difference does it make? He buried Kurt Angle. Who cares? Kurt Angle's in the Hall of Fame.
Kurt Angle's been buried for a while now. It's okay.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's not worried about a damn push. what are we talking about? Oh, he cut Shane McMahon's momentum. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I still laughed at that. Like, I remember when people complained about that whole book, and I'm like, half these people, like, look at the people in the match. It was no young up-and-comers in that match anyway. Like, even, like, Nakamura, Bobby Roode needs to push. Bobby Roode's 40 years old. Like, he's going to be what he's going to be. You know, like, John Cena and Randy Orton and Kane's. And I'm like, are we really talking about pushes in this match? And this is kind of like the whole thing where, at certain points, it's about spectacle. Like, when WrestleMania come, I don't really worry about pushes too much. I worry more about who can have a good match with who. So I've never had an issue like legends wrestling. I never had an issue like celebrities wrestling. Because, like, that's what you do at WrestleMania.
I think if you didn't expect some level of that, I'm not sure why you'd enjoy WrestleMania. Because, like you said, it's been a staple since the beginning.
Yeah, like the first WrestleMania, like the main event was a tag team match that had celebrities like, you know, Muhammad Ali, and was the ring announcer, bell guy or whatever. Like, it was basically like, you know, Liberace and all this, like Mr. T and everything. Like, it was a spectacle, and it's been like that since. Like, that's what WrestleMania is about. Whoever it's like Mickey Rourke or Floyd Mayweather or Snooki or Maria Menounos or Lawrence Temple, like, every year it's been something or somebody. And that's just how it is. I know it's like, oh, the culmination, da-da-da-da-da, they can push this. And, like, if it's a situation where you have, like, you know, light in a bottle where you can coronate Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, perfect. It's organically done, you can do that, you can take advantage of that, that's great. Other than that, it's like, you work with what you got. I mean, you try to push in the best way you can, but once WrestleMania comes, you can't be worried about, oh, I got to push this guy. It's like, if he ain't ready by Mania, you got to try again next year. Like, don't try to shoehorn something because you're trying to prove a point. Like, that ship sailed. And I've always got an argument with people saying about, oh, WrestleMania, they got the old heads. Why's The Rock there? I want to see fill in the blank. I'm like, why's The Rock there? He's the damn Rock. That's why The Rock is there. Like, if somebody that flew from Sweden that spent $6,000, he is not going to complain about seeing The Rock. Yeah, like, I know that you want to have a big old Tommy up there and got his push. It's like, maybe next year, son.
Yeah, well, Hideo Itami's push is not happening at all, so.
He's going to push the 205 live, so that's something. But along with, I found this out by accident. Apparently, Rockstar Spud is going to be it was signed by WWE, and he's kind of showing up, like, relatively soon.
Oh.
Like next week or, like, the week after.
Oh, and who did, they did advertise someone, I didn't remember seeing Spud. Oh, that's who it was, NXT. I'm not sure if they've been hyping her or not, but they did have a little thing about Shayna Baszler coming to NXT. Yeah.
I thought that was like a I thought that was Baron Corbin at first. Until they said the name, I'm like, who's this dude that's on NXT? Just because they had the silhouette and the way they, like, not the discredit or, like, disrespect Shayna Baszler. It's just the way they had the promos. Like, who's this?
Yeah, well, they kind of carry themselves similarly. And they do kind of have the same kind of hair. She has more of a full head of hair than he does.
Yes, she's got less of a bald spot, thank God.
Yeah, but I would have to say that they both kind of grease it down usually, and kind of keep it a little, you know, long and stringy. So yeah, I could see making that mistake, but no, I did not see that. Rockstar Spud is a character, and I guess he would work in the 205 Live. Is he destined for there, yeah, or NXT?
I think he's destined for 205 Live. I mean, with them talking about doing, like, house shows and stuff and everything, you know, personalities are going to matter more than just ring work skills. So, I mean, the few times I saw him in TNA, he was entertaining. I'll give him that. That was a name I would think of, like, oh, yeah, imagine what he'd do in WWE. But, like, kudos to him to know when the ship was sinking and kind of like, you know, grab the life raft. So I never hear something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah. Speaking of life rafts, have you seen the GIF or the video clip when they had the match with the Bludgeon Brothers on SmackDown and that jobber that they powerbombed?
Yes. I have seen that 8-second clip.
I almost broke a rib laughing. Like, Steve showed that to me, and I almost broke a rib laughing. I haven't laughed so damn hard in so long, because it was just, like, it was just so ridiculous and just so funny. Like, that's a natural reaction. You weigh $150, you about to get powerbombed, guys. I guess I would scream like Michael Jackson on Off the Wall, too. But I've never heard a grown man scream like that in a wrestling match. Like, ever. And I see this clip, I'm like, okay, it's a power bomb. And then also you heard and I'm just sitting there and I just lost. Like, he screamed like he was on a roller coaster. And
I don't even know if that's quite appropriate. It was so high pitched, I was like, oh my lord. Like, oh man, yeah. It was one of those.
They fired James Ellsworth to get two more James Ellsworths.
I'm gonna say that they probably might employ James Ellsworth again if they're in, because they weren't in Boston. No, they were in Cleveland. Hold on, I'm trying to think of. Oh no, that's SmackDown, so that was in Cincinnati. I'm sure. Oh, well, Colin Delaney, I think, is, oh my god, and I couldn't believe how much of a beating they took in that match. Oh, man, that was one of your good old-time squash matches.
I'm glad they bring those back, because squash matches are effective when used properly, especially when you have, like, you remember stuff, like, I'm going to remember that match. Just for that clip right there. If I don't remember anything else about the goofy ass Bludgeon Brothers, because I've never heard a grown man scream like he saw the Boogeyman. Until I saw that. And it's just like they were trying to hold it together on commentary. I don't know how they did it. Like, I couldn't. Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm about to be 39 years old and I'm laughing like a lunatic. Like, I just kept watching over and over again because. That's why I watch professional wrestling, for stuff like that. Because you never know. You turn on WWE and you don't know what you're going to see on TV sometimes. Like, I'm watching the Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt thing. And you see Booker T's face at the end of it. Booker T's like, what the hell am I watching? Like, he had this look on his face like, what am I watching? Then he's trying not to laugh because he realized how absurd it is. Just stuff like little things like that. It's just, it's great wrestling, and they do absurd things. Like, and they're both on the same show, and they embrace both of them. Like, I like that. I like the juxtaposition of, like, you know, these serious wrestlers having a 25-minute, you know, great match, and then two goofballs trying to be, like, comic book villains laughing at each other, and it's on the same show.
Yeah, it is quite a potpourri of of topics that you can come across in professional wrestling. I mean, and as you pointed out, we even have the Fonz, so, you know, if you like the greaser area.
Am I the only person that I look at Finn Balor coming out of that leather jacket and thinks he looks like a pervert? Am I alone on that island? Like, I do not like that look. It just looks, like, it reminds me too much of Alex Wright, and it just looks wrong.
Oh, why had I not thought about Alex Wright before you mentioned that? Shame on me.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see that now.
He comes out with the black boots and the itty-bitty tights and the leather jacket, and he just flips the collar and holds it for 5 seconds. I'm like, this dirt ball. Like, it's nothing. He's not doing anything wrong. He just looks like a pervert. It's just something about the outfit. Like, it just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, the cut on his trunks does not help the situation, I would say.
Like, he's about to flash somebody. Like, I just want to see him. And it's normally outfits don't bother me that much because it's wrestling anyway, wrestling their underwear. But it's just something about the Finn Balor, like that Finn Balor outfit, that just, it irks me to no end. And he'll come out, oh, he's cool, the Balor Club. I'm like, this is not cool. He does not, like, he's a cool guy. He does not look cool looking like that. He looks like he's about to flash some kids. And somebody needs to call the cops. So, yeah, but that's what you get in professional wrestling. Like, you get things like that. So I can't be too mad. Like the Joker Randy Orton, like he doesn't wear pants except for it's like a segment when he's burning down a treehouse.
Oh yeah.
Like Randy Orton has wore pants. He's wore pants like 3 times in a decade. To the point where it's a joke. Like, I'm glad you do squats. You want to show your thighs off, but even then. Wearing a sleeveless hoodie with trunks, just strolling down the ring. I'm like, yeah, that's what you get from professional wrestling. You get stuff like that, you know.
Oh, man. And I'm trying to think of what some of that other stuff is currently.
You got the stuff with the women.
Well, and the first thing that I thought about with the women is Nia Jax hitting on Enzo Amore.
Good Lord, have mercy. I was about to throw up. I'm like, I read this, come on, you know, they have Nia Jax doing that so she won't get involved with Absolution. So they want to have her have something to do. And, of course, it's the whole juxtaposition. Like, Nia Jax looks how she looks, and she's this big, exotic woman. Enzo weighs probably a buck nothing. So having, like, you know, of course, them together, like, you just laugh seeing that. But I saw this weekend she biting her lip. Like, that look you get women do when they really attracted. And I'm like, give me a goddamn break. The only thing I liked about it was, like, Drew Gulak just being so oblivious to the whole thing, but not realize he's oblivious. Like, he's the MVP of those segments, because he just plays that character perfectly, where he's a heel, but you don't hate him. Like, he's not, like, he's likable without trying to be likable. Like, he's oblivious, but doesn't, like, he's a fool that doesn't play the fool, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, because they definitely present him as being smart, as and loving his PowerPoint presentations.
So I saw that with Nia Jax and Enzo, and I'm just watching this, and I'm like, yeah. Like, we've seen this before with, like, Beth Phoenix and Santino, but at least they were, like, close to the same size, and they played it more for, like, comedy. Like, Beth Phoenix never, like, felt like she was turned on by Santino. It was like, no, whatever, just come follow me. Nia Jax is looking at Enzo like he's a damn snack. And I'm just losing my. How dare you, WWE, for presenting this to me? Like, I know better. And it's just. I mean, it's something like out of the Attitude Era. So I can't be mad at it too much. Like, I've seen stuff like this before. It's just still just disconcerting.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'm a little surprised by the whole thing, but it's kind of funny. If you're trying to keep her away from Absolution, why did she come out and help clear them from the ring later in the evening?
Yeah, so how about that? And the whole thing with Absolution is kind of like they finally did something with them and Asuka because they've been teasing that for like a couple weeks, and that you were getting to the point wondering like, is she gonna join them? Because they've been jumping everybody else, but they all been like, you know, not this time or giving her a look and stuff. Like this was finally the week they were trying to do something, and even then she got more offense than everybody else did. They tried to jump her, she was jumping them till all three got in the ring, and then. It says a lot where at least they played off like other leagues, they beat up everybody else and then jumps them out of the ring. Like this one, they get on her and everybody from the locker room just runs in like, "Oh, Asuka's popping up where you all save her?" Because she didn't save y'all in the past 2, 3 weeks. She was minding her damn business. So that thought did cross my mind, like, yeah, you know, when Alicia Fox was getting jumped, I didn't see Asuka coming to save the damn day. Just kept she kept it moving like she was Bennett, she wasn't in it, so
Yeah, I honestly didn't think about that that part of the angle, but it is certainly true. She really, because she wasn't a was she the sole survivor?
yeah, she was Survivor Series. She was.
Okay, I was trying to think if someone else was left on her team for some reason. yeah, I mean, they still haven't played up that. They've definitely played her up more ever since the odd send off of Emma there.
And yeah, the stuff with Dana Brooke a couple weeks in a row, then the stuff with Alicia Fox. Like, they've been booking her to be like, it's like the badass woman of Raw, as far as the women goes. And it's like, they have her friendly with the rest of them, but she's separate. Like, she's like, Bayley and Sasha Banks and Mickie James are all kind of like hanging out together. Alicia Fox pops in every now and then, thinking she's still the captain. Alexa Bliss is still a heel. But she's getting involved, like protecting herself, and Nia Jax doing her thing. It's funny where you look at the shows, they have enough. I was kind of, they got enough women. Like, if they want to have women tag team champions on both shows, they could actively do that and have decent matches. Like, and I, wow,
Yeah,
that's something to think about. Like, they could do that if they wanted. Like, they got enough women and got more in the pipeline. Like, wrestling has changed. Where you can say something like that, like both Raw and SmackDown can have women tag team champion, like a women tag team division, and it wouldn't seem like, you know, pitiful.
I mean, they could probably do 3 to 4 teams, most of the time with the women these days. And I feel like Sasha Banks, that was one thing that maybe I didn't actually tweet about. I feel like Sasha Banks kind of mentioned that when she was talking to Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, about the possibility of women's tag mat or tag
Yeah.
belts.
It's been mentioned by women. It's been mentioned by other women. It's kind of like, you look, I looked at the Raw segment, I counted them like, it was 8 of them. And like, 8, it wasn't like, you know, 6 plus 2 relays, like 3, only three that could wrestle. You had eight, and they can all conceivably wrestle. And you got more, like the women in NXT, the women they could sign to NXT if they want. Like, they could have a women's tag team division if they wanted to, and have, and they got enough storyline time to do it, because the women in the cruiserweights are basically the mid-card of Raw anyway. And SmackDown's not, and SmackDown's whole super deep show where it's kind of like they're going to be stealing time from somebody, you know. So, yeah, that's something. And I know one thing, and I've talked to Gary about it. Mandy Rose is not ugly. It's like they designed her out of a damn, like, lab. Like, I want to have the perfect, like, it's like Vince McMahon had a WWE creator wrestler. If I had a woman wrestler, I want to look exactly like this, because she looks like a taller Trish Stratus, basically. No.
Yeah.
And she's athletic, and she can talk to someone on the mic, and she's relatively, she's basically what Eva Marie would have been if Eva Marie was younger. Like, because she just looks like, wow. Like, every time she pops up, every time she pops on the screen, I'm like, yeah, she's is not ugly. And her, it's funny, like, her and Sonya Deville make a cool dynamic, because Sonya's like, you know, she's this MMA badass, but she's not all rough and ugly. Like, she's gorgeous, too, just in a different way. They're best friends in real life, so that always helps with them, like, you know, working with your friends always, the thing when you can. And kind of like they started together with the whole Tough Enough thing. They're always on Instagram with each other, hanging out and stuff like that. And that's a funny mix with those two and Paige, because I can see those two together because they're friends. I know Paige was on Tough Enough there, but I wouldn't think the three of them would be like a thing, but it works. But it's not as weird as the SmackDown one. Because I don't know what world where Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan would ever hang out. Like, not even talking about Sarah Morgan. Like, I could see Sarah and Ruby Riott together. How Liv Morgan is part of that, I was like, they wouldn't hang out in high school unless they see Liv Morgan from getting jumped by the other cheerleaders. That's the only way I could see them being friends.
Yeah, both groups are weird. I guess I didn't know about the real life of Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. But they could work as good, counterpoints to each other. Paige actually is kind of the weird one in that group.
Yes, she is. Paige is definitely unique, but mildly.
So, yeah. So what? Well, yeah, no, not both the leaders are the odd ones out. Yeah, Liv Morgan is kind of weird, and I'm still kind of, I'm not that sold on Sarah Logan's character at the current moment, but I will give it time.
It's funny when they came, like, the Raw women, I could see them when they came, because it's kind of like, you know, Sonya Deville has a unique look. Mandy Rose looks the way she looks. They've been hyped before, so I'm not that surprised. The SmackDown one, I'm kind of thinking, I would have figured they was going to do Peyton Royce and What's-Her-Face, old Beasting Face. I can't think of her name. Billy Kay, I always call her EpiPen. And I know I'm wrong for that, but she just got those cheeks, I swear, like she got stung by a hornet. But no, I figured they was going to bring them there. So the fact, Liv Morgan and Carmelo on the same show is kind of like that Spider-Man meme with the two Spider-Men that point at each other. Because it's kind of like, oh, you look like me. Like Liv Morgan looked like the great value version of Carmelo. So to have them on the same show is kind of like, I thought they avoided doing stuff like that on purpose because they didn't want to, like, confuse people.
Yeah. Well, Carmelo has a hat and Liv doesn't.
They both had hats. One just wears it.
Oh, did she wear it backwards?
One wears it backwards. I think the only difference is like 2 inches of height and like a cup size. That's in like an outfit. That's it. They're both these blonde Jersey Shore girls. Like, you know,
yeah.
Morgan's more realistic with hers than Carmella, but like they plays similar characters, and they tend, I know WWE tends to kind of like, we don't want to confuse people, water down stuff, so we try to change it or keep on different shows. Like in this one, it's kind of like they didn't even bother. But it's funny where the same week they had two women's factions basically join, like go up there, just jump everybody. You know, like, oh. And you don't really see that with, like, they're booking the women, they book men, but you know, I mean, didn't see that with women. And the fact that you're seeing on both shows, is kind of like, they're real serious about this whole, we're going to push women's wrestling thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of the interesting thing about the Paige angle on Raw. I don't think anyone's disputing her place in the, you know, the Raw women's revolution. And it was one of those things that when they first initiated it, it became a bit of a joke because, well, the WWE didn't do well with it. But at some point, they really went in.
Yeah.
You know, like, when they stopped actually calling it a revolution and just started booking them like professional wrestlers, things shockingly started to move in the correct direction.
Definitely work, and it's kind of like, it's funny where Paige almost gets forgotten because the whole women's revolution stuff started when she was out. Like, she was basically the bridge between the AJ Lee generation and this current generation. Like, I was there at that Raw when she showed up and beat AJ Lee for the title, like her first night there.
Oh,
and like, yeah. You know, and it was the thing. I remember people losing their mind on Paige at NXT, like this goth girl, British, she's 21 years old but been wrestling for like 6 years. Like, she had a look, she could wrestle, she was cool. You know, internet, they always have their favorites. Like, you know, before it was kind of like Mickie James for longest was the internet darling, and then AJ was the internet, but like, that was basically Paige. And then all the stuff happened with Alberto Del Rio and her injury, and like, she almost, for a long time people think she's gonna get fired. Like, they did not expect her to be back because all the stuff she's going through and going with. So to see her, like, back and, like, thriving is one surprise. Like, but then you think about, she's, what, 23? 24?
Yeah, she is still really young.
Yeah, because she started young. It's kind of like, you think, like, she's, like, 30. Like, she just had this long-ass life. It's like, she's still just getting started. And she's still younger than probably almost every other damn woman on the roster. Which is just saying a lot, like, because everybody else is kind of like in their mid to late 20s or like mid to late 30s, depending on like smack, like Natalya and Tamina and like Shayna Baszler, even like somebody like Shayna Baszler for that matter. So, yeah, it's weird with Paige. Paige has always been weird, and she does have the whole thing like, I was the original, like, they call us women instead of demons because of me, and it's always been that whole weird thing when the heels telling the truth. And the fact that, like, she's a heel, but she's likable. People like, hardcore fans like Paige, and they basically rooting for her because, like, that whole underdog story, overcoming adversity. And it works. The only way it works with them being heels is it helps that Asuka is on the other side, and everybody loves Asuka, even though her being a face is still weird. Like, because one, she's drop dead gorgeous, and she walks around like, yes, I know how I look. I'm gonna bite this mask and look in the camera and wink at you and smile because I know exactly how it comes off. And she's just seductive, like, but then she just kicks the shit out of people, and she's just like a bully. Like, it's like if Chong Li was a babyface. Like, it's just weird. Like, she's a babyface that does not act like a babyface whatsoever. She acts like, you know, if The Rock wanted to be sexy. Like, she just strutting around, and I'm better, and I'm going to make fun of you, I'm going to do my dance, and I'm going to kick you in the mouth and choke you out.
Yeah, which, yeah, I guess she's still kind of in a unique spot on Raw. She got the help, but I guess it's not clear what she's up to or if she's even going to be involved. I guess does she end up feuding with Paige and the other two end up... It's kind of wide open story right now.
It's, the only reason it's weird with her, if she was a man, it wouldn't be weird. She'd just be the badass baby. The weird thing is, they don't normally have women baby faces like her. Like, they don't normally have women badass, cocky baby faces. Like, women, the baby faces are all, like, you know, underdogs, or they're like Hulk Hogan, like Trish Stratus was. Like, I'm just above it all and trying to fight the good fight, and people want to beat me up because I'm pretty and they're ugly. Like, that type thing. Asuka's like, just bull. Asuka's, and it's kind of like they book her where she's better than everybody else. They stress how good she is. Everybody on the announce table says, you know, she beat people in 4 seconds. She never lost in NXT. She hasn't lost since she's been on Raw. So it's kind of like they book her like she's the best wrestler on the show, but she's not the champ. And it's kind of like that's still a weird thing. Like, I told Paige to kind of distract the fact that, like, Alexa Bliss has the title, and she, personality-wise, she's definitely championship material. Ring-wise, it's like, it's going to kind of, like, stand out where she's probably, what, the fourth, fifth best woman on Raw as far as ring work, and that's going to be, that's going to get noticeable when you have all these women that's better than her. It's like, why is she champ? They're not champ. Like how the show where I know, like, Nia Jax and Rookie, how you gonna have a show with Nia Jax, Paige, and Asuka on the same show, not even counting Sasha Banks and Bayley, and Alexa Bliss is the champ? Like, that's, yeah, that's kind of like, that'd be like Raw, like Kane with it, like you had Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, and like Kane was world champ. Like, y'all know he big, but that don't seem like that fit.
It's kind of an interesting spot that she's in. Because, I mean, I don't think of Bliss as being bad in the ring, really, but she's also, like you said, like, Bayley and Banks and Asuka and Paige, I would have no problems putting them above her. As far as in-ring work goes. So, I mean, that to me, a default is not, at least a five at the highest.
Yeah. And it's not, and it's, they push to where, like, they have, and it's not even her fault. It's just the fact that they just have these great women that either had success or, like, should have success. And it's like, she can hang. He can hang with them, but it's like, Norm, they're the case, they set up an example, or they set a standard where the champs, like, either 1 or 1A when it comes to women. And, like, look at SmackDown. Charlotte's the champ. No one has an issue with Charlotte being champ because, like, you know, Charlotte can wrestle her ass off. And it's, and there might be people on SmackDown as good as her. Nobody's better than her on SmackDown.
Oh.
And the only person that's probably, like, close to her is probably, like, Natalya and Naomi. Becky Lynch. And everybody else is kind of like two steps below. So at least that's not the issue because, like, you know, she can do her show. I mean, she can do her stuff and everybody can accept that. It's harder to accept it with Alexa.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I guess because of all the distractions that are outside of the title purview, really. She's at least gonna, Bliss being the she in this case, is definitely gonna hold on to that title for at least another month. I would say that Royal Rumble would be the earliest she's gonna end up coughing that thing up now.
I just thought about, she's basically the Big Show. when the Big Show was viewed with, like, Boss Man over the title, and, like, they were never in the main event. Like, it was still, like, Austin and Triple H and Rock. It's like, that's Alexa Bliss where she's the champ, but I haven't even, was she even on the show Monday?
Yeah, she was on commentary, and then she did, I believe, help when the, when the whole locker room beatdown happened because she was beside her bestie Nia Jax when the assault went down.
See, that's also a weird thing because Absolution, which is still a silly name, but that's fine. They're heels, and it's funny where like Nia Jax isn't. I guess Nia Jax is a face now. She definitely they be playing that comedy stuff with Enzo, and like everybody else faces except for Alexa. Like I know you can see her teaming with them because like she don't want to get jumped, but like she's still a heel herself. And it's not like the rest of them like her. It's just a weird dynamic where she's joining up with them so she doesn't get beat up, but she's still a heel.
And I think the bigger problem would be just the fact that she is the natural leader. And, you know, she's kind of had a couple of lackeys here and there. So it'd be odd for her to have to answer to Paige in the meantime.
That's a funny thing. They got a lot of irons in the fire, and sooner or later, that's gonna come with that issue with her with the titles gonna come up. Because before they joined up, the whole thing it was leading to was like Nia Jax taking the title from Alexa Bliss, which is even weirder because like Vader versus Sting worked because Vader was the heel. If Vader was the face and Sting was the heel, that would be a funny ass feud. It's like Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss with Nia Jax as the babyface is kind of like, I'm gonna feel sympathy for Nia Jax. Nia Jax should mop the floor with her. She's like twice her size. Like the only reason and the way they book Nia Jax, she's only lost because she's been inexperienced or she got jumped by four people. It's a 1-on-1 match. She should dominate Alexa Bliss at this point. Like that should not be a close match. And it's always weird when you have a big baby face bullying a small heel. Like that's why Big Show never really worked as a baby face. Like, oh, can Big Show overcome Al Snow? Yes, I think he can.
yes, he should whoop his ass, actually.
Yes, I think he can pull this one out. Like, can he hang with Val Venus and keep his title? Yes, I think it might be a tough fight with the Big Show, but he might have become like, what are we doing? You can't do that. Like, you know, people cheer Godzilla because he fights monsters as big as him. People don't cheer Godzilla because he's kicking over a tank. And that's basically going to be like, not that. Alexa Bliss is going to be that tank she's going to kick over. Like, that would be a weird dynamic. I'm guessing they're going to change that because it seemed like they changed a lot with WrestleMania. I mean, with the group being there with Paige and Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. And basically it's leading to get Mandy Rose in the ring time and groom her to be the next Trish Stratus because it's like the moment she showed up on Tough Enough looking the way she's looking and can deadlift 450 pounds, you kind of knew exactly where that was going to go. It's like she looks the way she looks. She's an athlete. She learns fast, and she's strong. And it's just a beautiful thing, because it's like, those women are there. You still got all those women in NXT. You wonder, sooner or later, like, Asuka's going to get a title shot, a title match, and then you start talking about, you know, dream matches. Because it's funny, like, you know, I guess wrap it up soon. Asuka never really wrestled the four horsewomen beside Bayley.
Oh,
kind of like she came after they left, and right. Like Bailey was still there when Bailey got steamrolled. So you could have plenty of dream matches like her and Sasha Banks, especially her and Charlotte's like the money match. Like you could see them hyping the hell out of that like next year. They're both champions. They have a match at like Mania because it's kind of like Charlotte's like the legacy. Like out of the four of them, Sasha Banks probably has the most overall talent, like as far as personality. And like wrestling, but Charlotte's like the most champion level. Like she just looks like it. Like one, being Ric Flair's daughter definitely helps. Two, she's a super athlete herself. She can wrestle her ass off, and she carries herself like she's a big damn deal.
And it makes it pretty clear too, because what she was a volleyball player. A lot of the other women are much shorter than she is.
Yes.
And that definitely gives her a different look than everybody else has. I mean, Bailey is probably the second closest in height.
And Bailey not even that tall. It's kind of like, most of the women like around the same 5'3" to 5'7" height. But then you got like Alicia Fox is like 5'10" herself. And like Alicia Fox and Charlotte, this dumb, like, towers over them height-wise. Tamina and Nia Jax are just, like, bigger. They just height and size. But they were also, like, around the same. I know one thing. When they bring Billie Kay and Peyton Royce on there, you're going to notice who's tall and who's short. Because neither one of them are short. Like, they got some height on them, too.
Oh, so, yeah.
But, I mean, with the thing where height doesn't really matter that much, even with the men or women. Like, I was watching the NXT thing. And Adam, I know Adam Cole is not small. He just looks small. Like, I know they list him like, what, 5'11 and 220. He does not look anywhere close to that. He looks like he's about $50 size. I don't know if it's like his haircut, his body type, or what it is. He looks like a lot smaller man in the way they list him.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to what they, if they list him at 220 or something like that. He's bigger than I was thinking he was. But yeah, he does kind of come off small. If he is, like, I mean, 220 is at least Ziggler-sized, I believe. You know.
Okay, they have him listed at 6 foot and 210. He do not look 6 foot and 210.
Oh.
That's what they have him listed as. I'm like, I think part of it's kind of like he's been in a ring with Drew McIntyre and Aleister Black. Both of them, like, they just got a, like, they're not, well, Drew's bigger now than he was. Aleister Black's not necessarily heavy. Aleister Black's just tall.
Yeah.
He's like a tall, badass dude. So, like, it doesn't matter, like, when he's in the ring with Cien Almas, because they're probably, like, around the same size, but you go on, and the whole thing about making the joke, you go on SmackDown, the only tall person on there is like Baron Corbin and the Bludgeon Brothers. Everybody's like the same size, so the height doesn't matter. You go on Raw. Yeah.
Welcome to the land of the giants.
Yeah, they probably wrestled in real life before. I don't know if they have not. I couldn't see Adam Cole and Samoa Joe having a competitive match. I mean, like, we've talked about the whole size thing, much less like, you know, Sheamus or Roman Reigns or Brock. Like, once you get to, like, that's all these, you can talk about this Raw, they got all these big guys. Like, you get to a certain level, it's like, they're either big and wide or big and tall. Like, Roman Reigns is not a small man. Samoa Joe's not a small man. Sheamus is bigger than most 85% of the roster. And you don't even get to the point where you're talking about, like, Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. Like, that's... Braun Strowman makes Brock Lesnar look small. And Brock Lesnar makes almost everybody else look small. So it's kind of like, it's a ceiling to what you can do, especially if Braun Strowman is going to be the man and he's young enough for them to push that. It's a ceiling to what they're going to do. Like, if he's a baby face, he ain't wrestling no small, like, yeah, I know they're talking about Finn Balor heel. It ain't a snowball chance in hell Finn Balor going to be Braun Strowman unless he gets a real demon from hell and sicks him on Braun.
Yeah, he needs a little help from his broskies. From his good brothers, if he wants to beat him.
Yeah, that's the only time. So I'm like, size isn't an issue like it used to be, and they give chance to people that they wouldn't give chance to. But it still comes up when you have certain matchups. Like,
oh, yeah.
I talk to Jeremy all the time, and I've probably talked to you. Like, Seth Rollins was kind of like that cutting point. Like, you know, you had to at least be Seth Rollins size to hang with the big dudes that's at the top. And
yeah.
If you weren't, then it's kind of like suspension of disbelief only goes so far. And like, once you're not that size, it's like, yeah, I know it's wrestling, but it's like, I know what a fight looks like too. How somebody looks like he's 80 pounds smaller than another guy going to beat him?
That's why I did always think that it was interesting that, you know, Paul Heyman kept on hinting at a Finn Balor-Brock Lesnar matchup. I'm like, I understand that these two can have an excellent in-ring match. But I am really suspending my disbelief here.
Yeah, like, he's going to throw Finn Balor like a lawn dart. But now, like, Finn Balor's probably what? Is probably smaller than AJ Styles.
Yeah, like, because they list him at, like, 195, I believe, or something like that. Like, he isn't even hitting two bills.
Yeah, and AJ Styles can't get away with it because AJ Styles is just so damn good. Like, he's not big, but he's not really small. He's just such a great athlete where it's kind of like, it goes out the window. Like, he's like Kurt Angle and like some people where, and like Benoit was and Eddie Guerrero. Like, you're so good, you can believe they can beat anybody. Like, the size doesn't make a difference. Finn Balor is not big enough to have that. Like, Finn Balor's a great wrestler, but you don't go in there thinking like he just chopped down some dude that's 100 pounds bigger than him. Like, he just doesn't present himself that way. And walking around with dreadlocks with Predator makeup's not going to change that.
Yeah, it's funny what about 20 pounds or so can do for you. I'm feeling like Styles is listed somewhere in the 210s, somewhere, maybe 220. But, Styles is just probably better than Balor. As much as I love Balor, Styles can get away with a little more stuff with a little extra weight.
AJ, I guess you finish up with AJ Styles. I never thought we'd live in a world where AJ Styles would basically be the Ric Flair of WWE. And was basically, that's what he made it. Like, and I know a lot of people worry that he's going to lose the belt to Jinder Mahal. I'm like, he could, but I don't see it. I'm like, I think the Jinder Mahal ship kind of sailed, and it leads to like him wrestling Nakamura at Mania. Like, it's kind of like, you know, fans want it. They've acknowledged it. They've talked about house shows and stuff like that. You can have AJ Styles wrestle whoever, kill time with that. It's like, we really doing this Jinder Mahal thing again. Like, he had his, like, he did his thing. He had an experiment. We had his.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely got time. And it didn't work. So, I've got to admit, I'm not terribly surprised. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes everyone sees it coming except for the WWE for some reason. But, I'd imagine that the Jinder Mahal thing is going to be wrapped up after this. And, hey, maybe the guy can make a comeback. I mean, it's not like people haven't done that.
Like the Jinder Mahal thing, it was cute. It's done. Let's move on to bigger and better things. Like, you know, you got, like, AJ Styles not getting any younger. Neither's Nakamura. So, push them. They're the two best guys on the show. And whatever you did doing that, I mean, have them have their match and have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan's going to do, like, that's going to be, because, you know, we talk about that, something's going to happen from that.
And like, yeah, we kind of brought it up and didn't talk about it much. Like, that's one of the few angles right now that I'm like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this thing. Like you said, something's going to happen. But they haven't really completely stated their intentions. I mean, it definitely seems like if Brian turns on Shane, that there's got to be an in-ring happening for Brian at some point in the future here. And considering they've teased it with The Miz for Lord only knows how long, I would think that even if Brian has a handful of matches left in him, he will do something with The Miz.
Yeah, like, I can see the stuff with The Miz. They kind of, like, that seemed like it was an accident and just played around with it. This one seems kind of, like, on purpose. You know, like, the whole Miz thing started from a talking smack thing that just caught fire and just, they, like, we got this thing, let's use it. And it basically, like, gave a boost to The Miz, and like talking smack basically making a lot of careers. That was probably like the first time that was an issue. This one is like they did this on purpose, and they've been building this since, well, like before Survivor Series. But at least with Daniel Bryan, like, you know, this has been percolating for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't think this has been percolating for, like, it's a reason why both of them are referees. You know, like, both Shane and Daniel Bryan, like, that's not an accident.
Oh, and, yeah. Someone's getting knocked out, or someone's going to disagree with someone's actions.
Yeah. And the way it's been leading, it's like they want you to think Daniel Bryan's going to turn on Shane. Daniel Bryan's like been disagreeing with Shane for a while, and Shane's been cut off as like a tyrant. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
You can't ignore it because, like, it's Shane McMahon. He's got the sneaker game, and he's likable. Like, Shane, they showed up the Raw and, like, jumped him. Like, that whole Survivor Series thing, like, Shane started that, and he was just beating up people. And whole, like, the match he had with Kevin Owens, like, all of that's like, the match over, you want to basically murder him. Like, it's like Shane has basically been, you know, killing ass with bombs, not even a sledgehammer. And even if you're a good guy, it gets to the point where it's kind of like overkill is overkill. Like, what are you doing? Like, the voice of reason has to step in. And it's almost sounding like Daniel Bryan's trying to be the voice of reason, like Sami Zayn was, and they're going to end up looking like the bad guys. Which says a lot in, like, Vince McMahon world, where being a reasonable person makes you the villain.
Of course, the crowd is playing along with it too. So,
yeah, I'm curious to see how that whole thing is set up. Because it's funny, you know, they're gonna win the match because it's like they're not gonna fire Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. But it's like you gotta have something to have a reason. Because like besides Styles, Michael Morton and Randy Orton, like they're two top guys on SmackDown. So you gotta have a way to set up for them to lose and give them a reason. And yeah, I'm definitely curious to see that. Like that match and the tag match, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing those matches.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot that that's a SmackDown pay-per-view, and then I believe I will get the next SmackDown pay-per-view Fastlane then after that. Because Royal Rumble will be in between.
Yeah, that's in Philly.
So.
That's lame. Oh, so you're not getting Roblox. I remember laughing the first time people heard that name. It's like, because it was just a funny name. Like, it wasn't even like a real pay-per-view. It was like, oh, network exclusive. We just made one up. And like, oh, Roblox. We're killing time to WrestleMania. It was basically like a subtitle because it was like Triple H versus Dean Ambrose when Triple H was a champion. He's like nobody like is. They tried to make it like Dean Ambrose said. Just like everybody knew Triple H just won that belt so he can lose to Roman Reigns at Mania. And it was kind of like we're doing this match. We know why we're doing the match. Like they had a real good match, and you thought, oh, maybe Dean might win. Like I give him credit for that. It was one of those. Although the hatred people had, like, Triple H basically came out of retirement to save the WWE. It was like, he won the Royal Rumble and won the belt. It was like, he's like 42 years, like, people were mad. I remember when that happened. As much people were, like, sick of Roman Reigns, they kind of, like, fans that were there enjoyed how it ended. Like, they were cheering for Triple H. Internet fans were like, you just traded one tyrant for the old tyrant. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, Triple H is coming out, taking his suit off, beating everybody up, and getting the belt, and then taking a picture like him, Stephanie, and Vince backstage. They put it on Instagram, and it was like the three circles of hell. The way you hear some internet people talking about, like, why are we going back in time? Why is Triple H world champion? He's acting like he's John Wayne. And I was just laughing my ass off. So, and now it's like years later, and Triple H is going to house shows. He's beating Jinder Mahal in India and teaming up with The Shield on his vacation time. Some things never change, I swear. And they shouldn't.
Welcome to wrestling, coming close to wrapping up the year 2017. It is a strange, strange place that no one imagined even 5 years ago.
I got the feeling like 6 years from now, Triple H is still going to be wrestling this, like fighting the Undertaker, like Rick Rude's son or something like that. Just because it's funny where I remember when he took like Roman Reigns' spot when they had the tour when everyone was sick, and it's kind of like he doesn't have to do this. And he's taking time out his schedule and his life to go overseas, and he's going to South America, and he's going to India, because, like, he wants to give the fans what they want. And the first thought was, like, why? Like, I know you like the fans, but, like, you're in your 40s. You wear a suit and tie. So why are you doing this? Like, it's just weird where, it's like, he's doing it because he wants the fans to get what they want. And it's a perfect place to wrap up. It's funny looking at the image of Triple H, depending on what type of fan you are, because it's like Triple H is still like NXT Godfather, giving you all this stuff, and people cheer him and love him. But Triple H is also this guy, like, you know, like I said, he beat Jinder Mahal in Jinder Mahal home country. He's taking the last spot on the Survivor Series team and giving a pedigree to Jason Jordan in front of his dad, and then screwing everyone on his team to get the win, but then basically acts like a coward in front of Braun Strowman. Like, he does enough stuff to piss you off and root for him within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about the chicken shit part with Braun Strowman. Wise move on his part.
Yeah, like, it's funny where he's this big bully badass 8 times out of 10, but he knows how to play coward. Like, he's choking on a Popeye's biscuit when Braun Strowman yoked him up. So, and it's like, is he going to wrestle on Mania? I know people have been talking like him and Rock having one last match if they got the time, which is fine. It's like they probably had the best feud. Like, it's funny when I think about feuds, everyone thinks about Rock and Austin. I always thought like Rock and Triple H, because they basically grew up together. And they feuded when they were both in the mid-car, and then feuded again when they were both in the main event. And you tend not to see that. Like, that's one of the rare examples where you have, like, they feuded throughout their whole career, and they grew up together, more or less. So,
yeah.
and them having a match is kind of like, you know, they'd be separate from everybody else. You would have them killing a push, you're still in time. But it's kind of like, I don't know if they want The Rock to wrestle, because he kept wrestling with John Cena, and John Cena kept trying to cripple him. he tore a hamstring once, and then like tore a hip muscle the second, or an ab muscle the second time. It was like, hey, maybe you don't need to wrestle that clutch John Cena, but wrestle somebody else. I think it's more like a timing issue with The Rock, because he's just so damn busy. But it's curious to see how WrestleMania is coming. Like, they got a lot of names, a lot of people, and I guess we'll see when we'll see.
Okie doke. For at Stunt Granny, I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Shaw Farm D. Bell Time Beer of the Night. The definitely overcarbonated Stunt Granny brewing 5C Pale Ale. And yeah, look for that picture tomorrow morning sometime. And I am out of here.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Zuhadi, and make sure you are woken before you go throughout life. We are out.